story of Lazarus and his resurrection, I want to use it as a bit of a springboard into our ongoing conversation around freedom. If you aren't familiar with the story of Lazarus, I'm not going to read the whole story, but in essence, the brief summary of it is Lazarus was a brother of Mary and Martha, and they lived in a home near Jerusalem. Jesus spent a lot of time there. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus's. It was his base, really, at the Mount of Olives. He would go there often after he'd been in Jerusalem. He'd travel back to the Mount of Olives and stay at their house. So he was a close friend of Jesus's. Jesus was a long way away, and Lazarus got sick, and he ended up dying while Jesus was away. And the story goes that Jesus knew that he was going to die, knew that he was sick, but deliberately stayed where he was. Instead of going back to heal him, he stayed where he was until Lazarus had died, and then he travelled on back, which in itself is a bit of an interesting sort of idea, that you would let your friend die and then turn up 4 days after he was dead and then raise him from the dead. Because that's what happens. In essence, he shows up, and the people, particularly Mary and Martha, say to him, if only you'd been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And this is this moment in the story where the shortest verse in the Bible, two words, Jesus wept, appears. The whole idea that Jesus was human and he felt emotions and he never denied the emotions in his divinity. He was human and engaged the emotions. But it goes on, and then he comes to the place of the grave, and he asks them to roll away the stone from the grave. And the comment that's made is, if you read it in the King James Version, it says there's probably going to be stinketh. He's going to stink because he's been in there for 4 days. So there was, Middle East hot decomposition already taking place. And Jesus goes, oh well, rolls away the stone. And then he gets to these verses in verse 43 of chapter 11. And then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a headcloth, and Jesus told him, unwrap him and let him go. And I want to use this statement, or this particular part of the story, as just a bit of imagery of how we often live our lives. See, the reality is for all of us, we are free, but we're not free at the same time. See, Lazarus was freed from death. He was freed from the grave. In fact, it says he comes out with his feet and his hands bound, which that would have been quite an interesting thing to view. And I'm interested in how he stood up when you're like this, from lying down to then stand up and then get your way out of the grave. It would have been quite an interesting, and while he's blindfolded, wrapped with his head. So the whole imagery of that is almost laughable when you think about it. You know, the idea, what you'd be so shocked at seeing it happen, you probably wouldn't be laughing, but later on you'd think, there's some weirdness about that, right? And so he's alive, but he's free, but he's not free. Does that make sense? He's free, but he's not free. And Jesus' command in seeing him is release the grave clothes. Take the grave clothes off him. Get the things that are binding him, get them off him. And I want to just reflect on that today, that we can experience freedom to the levels to which we want to experience it. There's a couple of quotes I just want to reflect on. One from Jean-Jacques Rousseau. He's a 16th century philosopher, and he said this comment. He said, freedom is the power to choose our own chains. Freedom is the power to choose our own chains. See, the reality for you and I is the truth of the gospel is that Jesus has set us free, completely free, in every area of our life. As we celebrated this morning, he rose from the dead, and in rising from the dead, he conquered the power of sin and death over our lives. So the truth, if we want to unpack a bit of what I said last week, the truth is that we are fully free in every area of our lives. The illusion that we live with is that we think we're free, but we're not really. Does that make sense? That there's this environment that, yes, we stand in a church service and we can go, yes, thank you, God, for your resurrection power. Thank you for the freedom and the love that you have. But I've chosen the chains that I live in. Because we all let areas of our life remain imprisoned. Sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of complete blindness. We have blind spots and we don't realize that we're imprisoned in particular areas of our lives. Sometimes just because to deal with that particular issue is just going to be too hard and I don't want to go there. See, for all of us, the amazing thing about God and his grace is he has given us this complete freedom through Jesus. He gave us all so that we would be completely free. And yet his incredible grace and his mercy towards us is he lets us choose our chains. He doesn't want us to stay in our chains, but he lets you and I choose. See, we can live with areas that we are very aware of that imprison us, that hold us back, that restrict us from all God's got for us. And often we're quite happy to leave those there because of all of those issues that I talked about and more. God's invitation is always unbind him. Set him free. Take off the grave clothes. That's the invitation to all of us. For some of us, we actually need other people to help us with that process. If you're completely ignorant of the fact that you're bound in a particular area, sometimes you need a relationship, someone that you're with, that you're in relationship with, who challenges you or points out something that you need to grow in or that imprisons you still. You need help with that. For some of us, we might actually need to go and see a counselor. We might need to go and see someone professional to help us to deal with the stuff that is wrapped around us that still entangles us, that holds us back from the complete freedom that we have in Jesus. There's another quote by Rosa Luxemburg, which I thought was incredibly powerful. And she said this, "Those who do not move do not notice their chains." It's the interesting thing. Again, you see the imagery of Lazarus as he's coming out of the tomb. I am very sure that Lazarus was aware of the bindings around his feet, his hands, and his blindness as he's trying to get out of the tomb, right? He's very aware of it. Why? Because he's moving. I think sometimes for us, we get so stuck in a rut, we get so in our faith, we become stagnant, we become comfortable, we allow ourselves to become used to the chains that we have on us. And I think one of the challenges, and I think one of the invitations of faith is that, as James says, faith without works, faith without action, without movement, without some sort of a growth, without some sort of an expression, is dead. So this idea that you can have faith but be dead at the same time, that I preached a message in Invercargill earlier this year, and the emphasis was that you can be a believer in Jesus but actually be living in fake faith. Because faith must always involve movement. It must, as I said last week, truth always involves some sort of expression, some sort of outworking of the truth is when truth actually is revealed. Your faith is revealed in movement. And often we're unaware, and I found this in my life, that the biggest times of growth and development for me, and where I've realized the things that hinder me, the struggles I have with my own mindsets, thoughts about myself, have been when I've actually begun to step out in faith and do something that I believe God's called me to do, to challenge myself. I remember the first time I led a life group. The biggest challenge of that was getting through my own insecurities of, do I have anything to contribute in this environment? Because for me, it was always an issue of rejection. People would reject me, this idea that I wasn't good enough to be able to lead a life group, that I was struggling with so much, what gives me the right. And so I had to deal with that. And it challenged me as I moved. I had to deal with the chains that held me from being all God calls me to be. You know, now, because I dealt with some of those things, I can stand in front of you and preach and believe that there's something that I've got that God's given me as a gift that I have to impart to other people. But it started back when I took a move and actually stepped out and led a life group. That I overcame that chain by movement. See, for you and I think the biggest challenge often for us as Christians, and particularly in the West, is that it's easy to be a Christian and not be moving. And not be growing. And not be challenging yourself with, what does my faith look like at work today? And in doing so, we allow ourselves to be standing or lying wrapped in chains still. Because it's not until you get up and put your faith into action that you realize that there are issues that I need to deal with, that there are mindsets that I need to change, that I need to allow the Holy Spirit to give me freedom in this particular area so I can move forward in what He's got for me. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this very clearly, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So this idea that our world wants us to conform. Our world wants us to stay static. Our world does not want us to cause troubles. Does not want us to upset the, quote, status quo. Our world doesn't want us to do that. They want us, it pressures us into conformity. It pressures us into the customs that our world values. And yet Jesus is always calling us beyond that to say, actually, I don't want you to be conformed to that. I want you to be transformed so that you think like I think. So that you move like I move. In the same way that Jesus, when he lived, his declaration was, I only say what I hear my Father saying and I only do what I see my Father doing. He wasn't conformed to the pattern of the religious world that he grew up in. He was conformed to what he saw in heaven, what he saw in the kingdom of God, and he aligned his life to that. You know, often we're brought up in our worlds and we become accustomed with certain behavior. Even for me growing up in a Christian home, there were certain things that I was taught that were the customs of the world that I grew up in. Some of those, even though it was a Christian home, didn't align with kingdom values. Oh. Some of them didn't. And it's been a journey for me as I've stepped out in faith and as I've continued to grow in my faith and my relationship with God, He's challenged me about some of those mindsets, some of the things I'd developed in terms of the way I thought things should happen, the way I thought God was, and the way that God always interacted with people in this particular way. And He didn't interact with these people in that way. There were certain things that were in and certain things that were out. And realizing that God is bigger than our boxes. He's bigger than the frameworks that we often put around them. He wants us to live in freedom. But to do that, you and I need to be growing. We need to be putting ourselves in environments that challenge us, that stir us to express our faith, to not be conformed, to not settle for less than what God has for us. That you and I, in our freedom that He's given us, you can choose what chains you live in. That's a scary thought. that you and I can be wrapped with the smell of death while still following Jesus. My prayer, let that be the case for us. Let us be people that are continually wanting to grow into all that God has for us, to express resurrection life in every area of our lives, to have the same thing happen to us that happened to Lazarus. We don't just experience the life that Jesus has for us in terms of resurrection, but we move on beyond that so that we're actually free to go about life and move and be unwrapped from the grave clothes that hold us back. See, for me, I'm learning that there's freedom in movement. And if you're not moving in your faith, then I want to challenge you with saying you're settling for something less than what God has for you. You're settling for something that is imprisoning you, not giving you full freedom. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you, but I just want to put it in front of you. And I believe the Holy Spirit will speak to you detail of how that works for you. He'll be pushing on things right now. You'll be aware, maybe your heart's going a little bit faster as I'm speaking. You'll be aware that God's speaking to you. I need to be moving. I need to be active in my faith. I need to be expressing my faith because I don't want to live imprisoned. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for your awesomeness. Thank you that you have given your all, that you sent Jesus to show us and to demonstrate to us how life could be lived to the full. God, I pray for each of us here that you would help us to be people who choose to get rid of the chains, who choose to get rid of the things that hold us back, the things that we're aware of that we need to address. May we be courageous enough to address those, to deal with those, to allow your Holy Spirit to transform the way we think, to expose ourselves to people who will challenge us, will encourage us, will stir us to grow and to shift, to expose ourselves to people who will point out areas that maybe we could experience more of your freedom in. God, may we be courageous enough to do that. May we be vulnerable enough with each other to allow you to lead us into all freedom. God, I thank you for every person here. I thank you that we have tasted and seen that you're good. God, may we walk into the fullness of what that goodness looks like and the freedom that you have for us, I pray. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You're the one who convicts. You're the one who brings transformation. And God, we invite you into our hearts. God, help us to shift what we need to shift, to move where we need to move, so we can live in the freedom you have for us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.